This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. This is Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team Coach, Peter Caliendo.
Hello, everyone from around the world. Welcome to Baseball Outside the Box, where we interview baseball's best coaching minds with innovative thoughts who also challenge the status quo. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. Hey, listen, before we get started, today's show is brought to you by Audible.com, a great resource for audiobooks. Get your free audiobook download and a three-day free trial at audibletrial.com/InsidePitch, and when you do that, you're going to get over 180,000 titles to choose from, your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or even your MPI's player. Now, if you like the show, do us a favor. Go to iTunes, Stitcher, or any major podcast outlet and click subscribe. It's that simple. If you like the show, leave us a five-star rating. You know, it's going to help us out. It'll keep the show going. And finally, we want to thank the Lineup Media Group for hosting the show. You can hear a lot of great shows on the Lineup Media Group, like Youth Baseball Talk, hosted by Jim Cromer, and also Let's Get It On. So check it out on lineupmediagroup.com. Now, we're going to start the show. We got an exciting show. Got to tell you, we've been to Cuba before, but now we're back in Cuba in a different way. We got a team down here that's competing against the Cubans in Havana. And with six different locations, six different teams, it is an exciting trip. We got a lot to tell you, but it's an instructional trip, which we think we're going to learn a lot. We got three of our people on staff here. We got our head coach, Jimmy Hall, and I'll tell you about Jimmy. And we got two of our players, Zach Speaker and Connor Hogan. So before we get started, let me do this. First of all, we're thrilled to have you on Baseball Outside the Box. Because without an audience, we're not going to have a show. And then our listenership keeps getting bigger and bigger, and we are thrilled that you keep listening. But don't forget, spread the word out all over your social media, so that way, we can get more people listening to the show. It's an educational show for parents, coaches, and players. All right, so now let me tell you about our guest here with Cuba. We've been here a couple days now. I'm going to tell you, first of all, of our players. First, Zach Speaker from Heartland Community College. We're going to talk to both of these guys about what they look for in coaches. What they look for, what they think some of the bad things that coaches do, and some of the good things that coaches do. We want to get a player's perspective because we want coaches to understand that you need to be evaluated. Whether you're evaluated by another coach or whether you're evaluated by your players, your peers, someone has to give you an idea what you're doing in practice and how you're doing things in games, because sometimes you get blinded because you think you're doing really well, and maybe there's some things that, we all have weaknesses, and we can help you with those weaknesses. Okay, also, the head coach, who I have known for over 15 years, Jim Hall from Lockport High School. This guy's got 13 regional titles. He's a state champion in Illinois. He is in the Illinois High School Baseball Coaches Association. He's spoken at many clinics around the country at the high school association, but let alone also at the youth level. He spoke to a lot of youth coaches. He's in the most famous Baseball Coaches Association Hall of Fame, the American Baseball Coaches Association. And on top of that, he's the regional coach for the last 5 years with USA Baseball's NTIS Great Lakes region, and he's also worked their showcases where they select the 18-year-old national teams. And I'll tell you finally from how I know him, and I hope people are listening, because this guy needs to be a USA Baseball head coach, whether it's at the 18, at the 16, or any level. He is by far one of the best coaches around the country, and we have a personal friend that we have on the NTIS that we feel is just as good, Terry Ayers from St. Charles North High School. These two guys need to be on the USA Baseball national team, whether it's coaches or head coaches, and you're not going to get anybody better than these guys. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to get started. We're excited about the show. First thing I want to do is I want to welcome our two players. I'm going to welcome Zach Speaker, and just say, Zach, just say hi and anything you like right now.
Hi, how's everybody doing out there? I appreciate being on the show. It's a true honor to be down here in Cuba playing against the Cubans. I mean, I couldn't imagine I never imagined in the world being down here playing against such a great competition.
Awesome. First time anywhere in the world?
Yeah, first time out of the country.
Awesome. So we like that because we give them experience. And now we have Connor Ogan, who, by the way, played at Webster University and also at Ohio State.
Hey, how's it going? Just had a great day on the beach here in Cuba, beautiful beachfront. Great to be on the show with Pete. Couldn't be happier to be back in Cuba with him playing some great baseball here.
Fantastic. And also now, head coach Jimmy Hall.
Thanks, Pete. So far, we're 2-0. We started out a little shaky and came back a nice win, 9-2. And gave him 5 in the first inning of the second game and came back, won 13-5. So really proud of the guys. Probably the best thing I've seen is how close the camaraderie we had with our 13 players over the 3 days we've been here.
Yeah, you know what? We've only been here 3 days, guys. So tell me, I'll tell you what. We'll start with Zach. Tell me just in the 3 days you've been here, maybe the highlights of, you know, what you thought about the 3 days. I know it's only 3 days.
I have to say a highlight. Playing on that field, walking in the stadium. I mean, I've been in some pretty nice stadiums, but walking in that stadium, it's an unreal place to be. I mean, it's just so the architecture behind it and everything going on there is unreal. I mean, going in downtown Havana, where we were at today, just seeing all the different buildings was unbelievable. And we were in the cathedral today, and the way it was built, I mean, you could see the history in it, and it was truly amazing.
Awesome. And, you know, and obviously, you know, it's a baseball cultural trip. It's an educational trip. You know, so it combines all three of these, and we think it's great. Connor, tell us, only 3 days, but what do you think?
Man, the baseball culture here has just been awesome. You know, showing up to these stadiums and having, you know, 50 or so fans where you don't know where they're coming from. They're coming out supporting the United States. They're supporting their Cuban teams. A lot of the Cuban coaches even have been, you know, hanging around our dugouts trying to talk to some of the players. It's just been a great experience overall, you know, seeing baseball through their eyes instead. So.
Cool. And you know what? I was going to talk about Jimmy Hall. I talked about Jimmy earlier. I've learned a lot from Jim. Jim, you've been here 3 days, you know, but you've also been to 20 countries. So you compete internationally, and whether it be Japan or Italy or Dominican. So you've seen a lot of the different places. What's been your first experience here in the first 3 days that you really liked in Cuba?
First of all, the friendliness of the people. That's been amazing how friendly they are, and the people at the hotel have been great, and so many coaches, as Connor said, helping us there at the park, and it's just a phenomenal experience. And I think our players have just engulfed in just being in this country and feeling what it's like to represent the United States of America. You know, when the game starts, I got goosebumps the other day in my arms thinking, hey, we're representing the United States of America in Cuba, and some people, Pete, will never get here in their lifetime.
Yeah, you know, and right now, you know, Cuba's still closed, even though people think you can come here anytime. It's not really a place that you really can just jump on a plane and go. We've had to have special permission to be able to go to certain places. It's taken time to get here. It's not that easy to do. You know, so to us, it's really a historical event for a young group of American baseball players to have an opportunity to play in Cuba. And so far, it's been great 3 days. We still got 4 more days to go. One thing that I failed to tell you, because we're so excited about being here in Cuba, is that we did tell you the topic of the show is what, you know, for our players, what they like about coaches and what they don't like about coaches. We mentioned that. But the topic with Coach Hall is going to be, as a coach, how do you get the best out of your players? Okay, so we're going to kind of mix that in a little bit between those two topics. But right now, we're going to go back to Cuba. We're going to talk a little about Cuba. I'm going to start with Coach Hall, and I want to talk a little bit about, and I know it's only been 3 games, but, you know, the type of baseball you've seen from these kids in Cuba, anything that jumped out at you, anything maybe that you learned from them, or maybe even things that they need to do better.
Well, I think the Cubans, first team we played, they were kind of young. We saw some very good pitching early, and I think our guys really made good adjustments about that. I think their players play really hard. The Cubans have had great success nationwide with their baseball. You know, we're hoping to, you know, play a couple more tougher teams coming up for our guys. But I've been very pleased with how our guys have played. I've been very pleased with the Cubans, and you know, we've played very well lately.
Is there any style you've seen that they do? Anything different that they do in the Americans? Anything that's been interesting?
I just think, you know, they like to hit the fastball. We're playing with wood. That changes the game because our kids are you know, allowed to use BB core back home. So, I mean, they play hard. They play together. I saw a lot of camaraderie out there, kids talking to each other during the game, which is great. And, you know, as you said, Pete, it's not only a baseball game, but I think we're still representing our country and showing respect for the Cuban people.
When you say, you know, the bat changes a little bit, let's talk to our audience about the bat a little bit. When, you know, because a lot of guys in the States, you know, until they get a certain age, they don't use a wood bat. Should they be starting early to train with a wooden bat? Maybe why?
I think you always train with a wood bat when you're younger. I had the pleasure of coaching both Connor and Zach, and they always work with wood bats because I think that's you don't have a drop three, in terms of weight, and I think that's what you got to work on. And if you work on your swing with a wood bat, your swing's going to get better because the sweet spot is smaller. It's a 2-4 inch sweet spot where the wooden bat's got a 4-6 inch sweet spot. So that's a lot of room. You hear on TV, guy missed that by a quarter of an inch or something. You know what? That's a big miss for someone on his swing.
All right, now what about his players, guys? Let's start with Connor. What wooden bat? What's it done for you? How's it helped you?
Yeah, I always swing a wood bat in the winter and in the summer seasons as much as I could. I really think it really helps players develop in their swing wise. Like Coach said, the sweet spot's going to be a lot smaller, and also the swing weights are a little bit different. It's a little bit harder to get that bat through the zone quicker, so it really does increase your bat speed a lot. I really think that I've benefited greatly from swinging with a wood bat in all of my off seasons. And switching to a metal bat in season makes your swing just that much quicker, and you're barreling up many more baseballs.
You know, Zach, as a hitter too, I mean, you heard both of these guys talk about, you know, the bat. If there's anything you want to add, give it to me. If not, I'll ask you another question. Don't worry.
Well, I mean, I hit with a wood bat all summer, so the wood bat really wasn't much new for me, and we hit with wood bat at Heartland every day in practice, pretty much. So, I mean, it hasn't been much of a change, but I really enjoy hitting with a wood bat. So, that's all I got for that.
Okay, and you know what? Since we're on the wood bat, let's go back and talk about you guys are hitters, so let's talk about the pitchers you faced. Have you seen anything different from the Cubans that you haven't seen maybe? And I'm not, you know, maybe more like how they pitch. How they may, you know, pitch backwards, or they do something different that you didn't expect.
Yeah, so a lot of some of the pitchers who had some real nasty stuff, you would see that they'd start pitching backwards, which you don't necessarily traditionally see back playing in the States. You more traditionally see, you know, starting off with the fastball, you get ahead, you might go off speed right back at you. So that was a little bit of a change. Just like a lot of, you know, American teams that were playing, they're really working the outside corner even with the wooden bat. So that wasn't necessarily a big change, but, you know, just the pitchers throwing backwards was a little bit of a surprise to me at first.
So you guys think that they didn't want to pitch inside?
I mean, I saw a couple inside pitches. They try to jam me in, hitting in the four hole, and they try to get a backdoor slider on the corner. But, I mean, I didn't really see too many outside pitches. Most of them were inner half. I mean, I'm a lefty, Connor's a righty, so maybe they were just missing spots out or what.
Sure.
But I don't really know. So,
okay, Coach, anything you saw as far as the pitching from the Cubans that, you know, I mean, baseball is baseball, obviously, but is there anything that the Cubans were doing?
Well, you know what, as Connor said, they pitch us backwards some. I think they struggled. You know, it was easy for us because they threw very few breaking balls for strikes. So we pretty much made an adjustment as hitters and just said, we're just going to look for fastball. And that's why later on in the game, you know, we hit some good balls. But I think they're just – some of the kids are younger pitching-wise, and I think they're still learning. I think part of the Cubans are trying to do is get their players out there, have them pitch, get them some game experience. You know, we only got 13 guys here, and most of their dugouts had 18, 20 guys in there. So they're trying to take these young kids and develop. And I give them a lot of credit because the coaches that we had in our dugouts from Cuba were trying to help our kids all they could. So that was great.
Yeah, so if you know, we've been down here for 3 days, and a couple Cuban coaches jumped in and just started helping. You know, our guys, and just being part of the team, I think they're excited about that because maybe they haven't been around Americans that much, you know, but they were excited about coaching with our coaching staff because our coaching staff is on top of it. They've been doing a great job. You know, let's talk about a little bit about the game situation, you know, the actual game. Were there anything within the game that the Cubans were doing that maybe you didn't see in the U.S. or, you know, and we want to go back to one thing. Obviously, when we talk about fastballs. You know, they like throwing the fastballs. You know, it's like, I think it's kind of like the Dominicans. They want to get off the island. Now, they can't get off the island too quick, but eventually if they can throw hard, they're probably going to get signed. And that's probably why they throw a lot of fastballs. But as far as the game itself, you know, that you guys played, were there anything interesting within the game that you thought was good? So we'll start with Coach Hall.
I thought the game's really, the first game was a very, very close ball game, and then when they threw some of the younger pitches out, we kind of took advantage. The one thing I saw from them, and this is probably because of young experience, I was really proud of our guys how they stayed in the ball game, you know. And Zach said to me, like, you know, the second game, how we kind of panicked early and stuff, but we came back. So I just think the younger Dominicans, just, you know, when you get down in the game, you still got to stay in it. I think I saw a little bit of their guys kind of, when we got ahead, they kind of just kind of let up a little bit, you know. And this is just because they're an experience. But hey, some very, very young, talented players are going to be very, very good, you know. And I try and get across our kids, we're playing until we're done. We only play 2 7-inning games, they're supposed to be 9. But no pitch off, play the full 7, finish it and stuff. And I was really proud of our kids doing that.
Were you surprised by a couple of those guys bunting?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think you got to do that. I think that's part of the game. Guys that don't bunt, I mean, look at what turned Joe Madden and the Cubs around. Last year he was bunting, and this year he's bunting. I think bunting is part of the game. I know you believe that too, Pete. Yeah. It's such a big part of the game. I won a lot of games because we bunt, and I think it's starting to become a little bit of a lost art, which is sad.
Now, anything else as far as a game strategy that you might have seen that, you know, or maybe something you didn't like? Maybe there's something we don't do and they do. Is there anything like that out there during the game?
Well, going off of what Coach Hall said, I was surprised at also how often they were trying to bunt. It wasn't just their two hitters, their 7-8 hitters. Many times you saw their 3-4 hitters trying to put down a drag bunt, or even just bunting for sack bunts situationally. So that was a big surprise to me. You know, like Coach said, it's kind of becoming a lost start. Really, players are starting to swing away in those situations when they could be advancing runners and easily. But that was kind of the biggest surprise that I saw, is how often and just how frequently even their 3 and 4 hitters were trying to put down bunts.
Zach, I'm going to throw you a curveball, but you can answer the same question. As far as catchers, what did you think about their catchers?
I actually thought their catchers were pretty good. They had some pretty good hands back there. I mean, they called a pretty decent game. I don't know if it was the coach calling the game or the catchers, but whoever was calling the game called a really decent game. And watching from the dugout, studying the game, you saw that the catcher would give you, he would give you probably 2 inches with his glove work. He had really good hands. I mean, both catchers in both games that we've played so far, I thought, were really decent. But on the bunting thing, I thought the most interesting part of it was that if you didn't get it down with first strike, didn't get it down with second strike, the coach continued to make you get the bunt down with 2 strikes. So 0-2 count, 1-2 count, whatever it was, he made you get the bunt down. So, I mean, I just thought that was extremely interesting. Like, you had to do your job no matter what. No matter what situation, you failed the first 2 times, you had to do it a third, no matter what happened.
You know, and that brings up a good point, and we'll get into that too, since you brought that up. And that's what's great about the shows, because we want to hit some aspects of the educational part too. As players, coach, you got 2 strikes. Do you like the coach putting that, you know, bunt down sign, or do you dislike it? Why? Why not? And then we'll get into the coaching part, because, you know, we could all disagree, because the game, that's what the game's all about. Everybody's got different philosophies, but it's important to get it perspective a lot of times from the player's standpoint, you know, especially because it's a team game. It's not an individual game. We're not talking about, you know, that you know, pro ball where you're going to, you know, possibly lose an RBI or whatever it may be to get you to the next level. I'll tell you what, let's start, since Zach won, let's start with Connor.
Yeah, so as far as bunting with 2 strikes goes, I've only gotten that call once in my life, and that was in the regional championships my junior year. And I missed the bunt first time, bunted it foul, the second strike, 0-2 count. Coach puts down the bunt side with 2 strikes. I look at the dugout, I'm like, is he serious? Like, he wants me to bunt with 2 strikes right now? I was gripping that bat so hard, made sure the ball hit the barrel, thing shot off the bat, ended up being a bunt for a base hit, advanced the runner to third, actually. So as far as it goes for me, I've been 1-for-1. So I think the mindset as a player, though, is even with 2 strikes, it makes you focus that much more. So it would be interesting to see if coaches started calling a bunt on 2 strikes more, just to see how players react to it. But I think it could be effective that, you know, players become more confident in their bunting skills if they know that they have to get it down.
Zach, I see you shaking your head there. Yes, I think it was a yes.
Yeah. I mean, as a hitter, kind of a power guy, gap-to-gap guy, I'm not a big fan of getting a bunt sign down, but as a surprise, I mean, it works for a hit. I mean, if you get bunt for a hit, just a whole extra tool you get to have. But like Connor said, the focus aspect, when you have an 0-2 count, 1-2 count, whatever it is, it just makes you focus that much more. You have to get the job done here. You have to advance the runner, try to score a run. I mean, the whole point of the game is get him on, get him over, get him in. So, I mean, bunting with two strikes, you got to focus. You got to get the bunt out. I think it's a great part of the game. So.
Yeah, you know what? It's interesting, Coach Hall, but, you know, from a coach's perspective, I really want to get your thoughts on this because the game could change, you know, it's evolving over the years. So what do you think about two-strike bunts, especially even on a sacrifice, you know, where you need to get the runner over?
I've not put players in that situation. We bunt a lot. We've always bunt a lot because I just think sometimes, you know, you take the bat out of a player's hands. I've not been in favor. I don't think I've ever done it. An example was we had one of our players miss two bunts, and then I just said, I'm going to let him hit, and he got a base hit for us and scored a run. I think it comes down to a coach's philosophy. If that coach believes in it, I know a lot of guys that do it. I know Coach Mahalik at St. Francis does it all the time. I just don't like to put the player in that situation. You really got to concentrate. You got a guy throwing out there who's pretty good, and both these guys face good pitchers, and this guy's throwing a good slider. It's going to be tough for those guys. So I just as soon take my chance at him and put the ball in play.
And you know, there's got to be different factors too, right? You got the who's pitching, you know, the pressure of the player. You know the player personally. How well does he deal under that pressure? Can he handle it? You know, how good of a bunter is he? I mean, I'm assuming all those come into factors as a manager or coach.
Oh, without a doubt. You know, is he a good contact guy? He's going to put the ball in play. What's the guy throwing? Is he? If a guy's wild, it's even that much more difficult. The guy's around the zone, it's going to be able to pretty easy for you to get that down. But he's all over to the place, guy. It's more difficult for the player to get down.
You know, and that's what's great about the show is we can get perspectives from players and coaches. You're going to hear different answers. You're going to hear different answers from coaches. You know, the reason the show's called Baseball Outside the Box is because we want coaches to be innovative. We want them to think and think outside the box. We want them to challenge a little bit the status quo. You know, Coach Hall looks at it one way. Another coach might look at it another way. And, you know, sometimes success breeds that. You know, you're successful at it, so you stay with it. You know, maybe you're playing. And I'm assuming also, Coach Hall, I would assume if you're going to do this, and I love the answers by the players because as a player, I thought that too, you know, because I wasn't a very good hitter, so I liked the bunt. But when I had two strikes, I focused a lot more as a player. But I think there are other factors that come into play when it comes to are you going to put the ball down. Is there anything else from the bunting game, you know, from that perspective that you want to add?
Well, I think this. Do they go safety squeeze or do they go suicide squeeze? I was a suicide guy, and I tell you why. We worked on it all the time. We were pretty good at it. We got it down, I would say, 90% of the time. Safety squeeze. The runner's on his own, but you got to read the baseball. And I saw in a number of games where guys bunted the ball and runners didn't advance. So I'm more of a suicide guy versus a safety squeeze because I think the runner gets caught in the middle of the situation. I saw a number of times where a guy got caught, never got the run. I like the suicide squeeze. And we've got it in here. We've got both of them in here, the suicide and the safety. But if we get that situation, I'm going to go with the suicide probably.
Well, you know, a key word I heard you say was – we had to practice it. So if I'm going to go, let's take the two-strike bunting because I think it's an interesting topic because I've seen more and more. I've watched Major League Baseball. You're seeing more and more two-strike bunting in the big leagues also. But I would assume even there, you got to practice that if you're going to call that on somebody. You know, it's kind of like, can you squeeze if you've never practiced that as a team?
You can't. That's why yesterday we had four-corner bunting. We bunt every day, and I think it's, like I said, it's a lost art. I know a kid that played on a team this summer, and he said, you want me to bunt? No. What about drag bunting, Pete? What about the leading hitter 2 years ago and 3 years ago in college was he had 18 drag bunts. He was a number four hole hitter for USC. When we won the state champ, Jake Christian had 11 drag bunts. The guy's playing in deep left field. What's the difference between an 8-foot drag bunt and you just square one up off the wall? Sometimes guys get, I don't want to bunt. Well, you know what? It's part of the game. You can raise your average so much if you incorporate the drag bunt.
Now, just to throw another perspective of the international game, you know, it's a whole different ballgame. You've seen the Japanese. They're up and down their lineup. They all know how to bunt. Now, I would assume if I got Ichiro, who's in a World Baseball Classic, who's a Hall of Famer, who's going to probably by the time we're in Cuba, he may have reached 3,000 hits by now. Not yet. I got Waze back there. Coach was saying, nope, not yet. He's got still two more. Coach's on the internet 24 hours a day. That's why he knows. I see him in the lobby here all the time. So I would assume the third, you know, if I, even if I'm a third hitter, fourth hitter, but if I could bunt, that situation comes up and I need a bunt, you know, and I know a lot of guys now, they want the bunt later in the game. You don't want to waste outs. That's a new philosophy, which statistically shows is pretty good. But I would assume if everybody can bunt, you got a whole different perspective of the game because you can do it anytime.
Well, Pete, you know the game. A couple years ago in World Baseball Classic, how good of a hitter is Ichiro? What did Ichiro do? He got the bunt down to advance the runner because they played the international rules.
And that was in the first inning.
That's right. He got the bunt down, and then the guy got the hit to win the game. You know what I mean? Here's what, maybe one of the best hitters ever played a game of baseball.
I think in baseball, the only guy that would be able to tell the third hitter to hit bunt in the first inning, he would never do it. But the only guy in baseball right now that I know is a manager that gets enough respect would be Joe Madden for me, that if he had somebody do it, they would do it, but obviously they wouldn't do it in the first inning.
Yeah, I think it comes down to your philosophy. I think Joe Madden did a lot last year, Pete, because the Cubs struggled. I think what he wanted to do was get them ahead by a run, get them ahead by another run. Joe Madden's not doing as much moving runners as he did last year because he's got guys get the ball out of ballpark. So he can play for the old Baltimore Orioles. We can play for the 2-3-run homer. The other day in the Sox, you know, Brian hits a home run, Bias hits one, and then Addison Russ hits a grand slam. So, you know, when you got players who understand your system, but the Cubs could still bunt and move runners. I saw them do that in the playoff game last year against St. Louis, and the bunting was the difference in them winning the ballgame.
You know, and we're coming down to the first half of the show, but we're not done yet. We're going to finish with a couple more questions. I want to get to, let's do this, guys. I want to get to the back to Cuba a little bit and the games, the pitch. We talked about the pitchers. We talked about the catchers. Tell me a little bit about what you saw in the hitters, you know, defensively. Did you have to play them any differently? Did you see anything they do swing-wise? Anything that you caught your eye, I guess. Let's start with Connor.
They love the fastball. It goes to their advantage, and I guess it can also, you know, it can hurt them a lot because they ended up chasing a lot of fastballs that were outside the zone. They love to pull the ball in that sense. They always got their foot down early. Very rarely did they have a fastball beat them. Sometimes they would get fooled if it was a good pitch, but, man, do they love the fastball.
Zach, how would you pitch to them? I know you're not a pitcher, but as a hitter, I'm assuming you got to know pitching a little bit so you could think like a pitcher a little bit.
I'd probably throw them low and out. They're all looking to pull the ball out of the park, especially 1-4, mostly 3-4 like usual. But those guys are definitely looking for a fastball inner half, trying to hit it out. I mean, maybe to a lefty, a changeup low and away, because guys are definitely looking for a fastball in the zone to hit out of the park.
And, you know, and obviously, you know, they're trying, again, we said it once, they're trying to get off the island if they can. And, you know, you're not going to get off the island, unfortunately, bunting too much. And you're not going to get off the island, you know, hitting the other way. You're going to get off the island and the ball deep. And Coach Jim, you've seen these guys. You've seen the Dominicans. You know, hitter-wise, anything you like about the style maybe of their hitting, or maybe a dislike about the style that maybe they can get better at?
I think they spit on a lot of breaking balls. They wanted a fastball, and I think that, you know, when with the game the way it is right now, Pete, with the ability of guys to throw 2-3 pitches for strikes, you got to learn to hit the off-speed pitches. I know, you know, we talked about how the Japanese, they train slow to fast, you know, and they don't hit the fastball as well. Our guys, you know, the American kids normally have more trouble hitting a slider, hitting a good curveball and stuff. So I think it comes down to your philosophy. And I think the philosophy in the game in the States now is you got to learn, you know, I've never liked, I think two strikes, you can't compete away in a fastball. But I still think guys need to learn how to hit that slider away. These guys both played college baseball, and that's the pitch the guys live on right now.
All right, so we're going to take a break. We're going to be right back. But before we do, the people that we're going to be back with is going to be Zach Speaker, Connor Hogan, two of our players with Caliendo Sports International, which is Team America competing in Havana, Cuba, an historical event for all of us because, again, it's not that easy to get down here to play against probably one of the top worlds. As a matter of fact, Cuba has been ranked in the world rankings number one for many years. Now, as they started defecting, the rankings gone down a little bit. And, you know, you got Japan up there, and obviously the U.S. is in there all the time. But we are going to be back. We're going to be back with Coach Hall from Lockport High School, a state high school championship winner, a Hall of Fame coach. We're going to take a 10-second break, and then we'll be right back with Baseball Outside the Box.
This has been Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Listen online at baseballoutsidethebox.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.